Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 18. We're doing a series of messages here that I'm calling Jumping Jehoshaphat. And that's because Jehoshaphat was a good guy. He really was a good guy. And overall, he really wanted to seek the Lord. He really did. He did kind of let down a couple spots and got himself into some trouble. Last week, we saw some great things. God blessed him a great, great, very great way. And I think the thing about Jehoshaphat is he's just like us. And you say, well, he was the king of Israel and all. Yes, I know, but he's just like us. He's just a person. There's no temptation that hath taken you except that which is common to man. Whether you're a royalty man or whether we're peasant man, we're all the same. In the heart, the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all. Who can know it? Well, God knows it, and he's going to show us a little bit this morning. So I'm hoping in these couple messages here, it's going to be 3, 4, 5 of them. I hope that we will take some time, be honest with yourself, and see what God has for us here. Tell you the truth, what we're going to do is I usually read the scripture first, but we're going to go through this whole passage here. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, give us an introduction, and then we're going to work our way through it so we can do it a little bit more expediently. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you that it is the mirror that we can look into and hear and see ourselves. And Lord, I want you to do a work in our hearts. Most of all, Lord, you know, it's not my presentation, it's your Holy Spirit that does the works. And Lord, I ask that you will do a work in our hearts here. You know each of our hearts, Lord. I'm not sure, maybe something you'll bring to mind. Maybe it was one of the songs this morning was what they needed here this morning. But pray, Lord, now that we open your word, that you give us each a little nugget to take home, something we can put in our pocket and use this week. Pray that you'll do a work in our lives. And maybe there'll be some things that will be life-changing. Will change the way we've been dealing with some things and the way we have approached some things in life. We need you to do a work in our hearts. We do pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm doing these. It's a message about 4 or 5, and we're going to see how with God all things are possible. That's the case. Now, I do know that there's some folks who will say, well, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I can't say I've seen a whole lot going on that I would say with God all things are possible. Well, I think in this series of messages we can see that all things with God all things are possible, but with God that doesn't mean that all things are happening. And that's usually because it's on our side of the equation. We can be good people. We can be basically have our heart in the right direction and still have a difficulty seeing God working in the miraculous ways that he can. Now, some things we just need to make some decisions. So, well, I can't do, well, wait a minute. We make decisions. Well, I can't stop. No, wait a minute. We need to make some decisions. We make decisions every day. And I believe that our world has convinced us that, if you've got this particular bent, this particular inclination, well, then you're helpless. It's just the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. Let's put you on medication and go and send you home. Now, trying to be mean, but a lot of things, the problems we have, now I'm not saying there aren't some physical maladies. I know that there can be. But there's an awful lot of things. Well, they're not going to. I tell you what I think the doctor's saying. I've heard him say it. They're not going to change anyway, so just give them some medication and send them home. With God, all things are possible. I think this was lived out in the life of King Jehoshaphat. But we're going to see a hiccup today. God is going to do some wonderful things, some gracious things, some merciful things, some amazing things in the life of Jehoshaphat, and we saw that last week. There are some very practical lessons to be learned. If you're in your Bible there, look back in chapter 16 real quick, verse 9. This was talking about his father Asa. And Asa had done pretty well earlier in his life, but he kind of got out of sorts with the Lord at the end. And the Lord very clearly sent one there to tell him. It says, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 9, For the eyes, look at this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And then it says, herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. What's he saying? He says, God has blessed you, and that's his plan, and he wants to. In fact, he's looking for the opportunity to be a blessing. But he says, you kind of put yourself out from underneath the spout where the blessings come out. You've done foolishly. And you're going to have a problem for the rest of your life. You're going to have wars. Now, we can take that promise that God is looking to and fro, trying to find whom he can show himself strong on our behalf, whose heart is perfect toward him. We can take that promise and try to and do our best to confess our sin, confess him, forsake him, go to the Lord, look at the Word of God, learn the Word of God, have a heart that's toward him. That is our choice. It's our choice. We can take that promise and live by it and see the promises of God come to fruition. Or we can reject the promise like Jehoshaphat's father, Asa, did, and lose the promises and experience the problems because we refuse to seek to have our hearts perfect toward God. If we want to claim the promise, we need to meet the prerequisite. We've been told to a certain extent these days, well, you know, God is love, and he is. The Bible says so. But God is also righteous. In fact, in love, he's not going to condone sin that sin hurts because sin hurts us. Listen, a child left to himself shall bring his mother to shame, the Bible says. But you know what? Wait, we got mothers who, well, I love them, so they're going to give them everything they have. They're going to never tell them that they're wrong. They're going to make sure they always feel happy. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to raise a spoiled child that's going to be worthless to himself and everybody else around him. And God loves us enough to tell us no. God loves us enough to tell us the truth. I wonder what would happen if we would truly set out to believe God's word and actually trust God by acting upon God's promises. So this general principle that we learned last week in chapter 17, verse 3 of Jehoshaphat, look at it with me, and it says, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David, sought not unto Baal, that was a false god, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. And remember from last week, Israel was the 10 northern tribes which had separated. As soon as they had separated from the rest of the nation, they went right into idolatry. They had a golden calf and everything, just as if they were back in Egypt. It went right back to all this stuff. But God had kept a remnant in Judah, and there's some Benjaminites in there, some of the tribe of Benjamin, the lower part of the nation. And God blessed, Jehoshaphat was the king of the lower part, the little part down there. And God blessed him as long as he kept himself away from the mess that was in Israel. Well, who was over in Israel? A king by the name of Ahab and his dear wife Jezebel. Now, you may not know a whole lot about the Bible, but when you say she's a Jezebel, you know what I'm talking about. She was a mess, and she kind of pulled Ahab even further into that mess. And they had come into power while Jehoshaphat's father, Asa, was still the king. So Ahab is in power, Jezebel is there, and Asa passed away, and so he takes his father's throne. And he says, oh my, look what it says in chapter 17, verse 1. Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. So the first thing he said was, I got to make sure I stay away from that mess. And then it says in verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the ways of his father David, sought not unto Baalim, but sought the Lord God of his father, and walked in the commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Why did God bless Jehoshaphat? Because he separated from the mess of the world and separated himself unto the Lord. And we went through it last week. I don't want to preach it all, but if you remember, he went out, he sent a bunch of folks, the princes and the priests and the Levites, and he said, you go out and preach it. And he gave them a copy of the Word of God, and they went all over the place and preached the Word of God. And then it says, listen, it says that God blessed them. Look at verse 10 of the chapter. It says, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Why did he have peace? Because he had peace with God. Because the Lord shows himself strong toward them whose heart is perfect toward him. Verse 11, also some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute, silver and eight, and the ravens brought him flocks and 7,700 rams, it goes on. God protected Jehoshaphat because his heart was perfect. Now, that doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means his heart was after God. His heart was chasing God. Now, wait a minute. We're never going to catch up to God. All right? You know what I'm saying? We're never become like God, but we certainly can be heading in that direction. And I can be more like I'm supposed to be today than I was yesterday and more tomorrow than I am today. My heart is pursuing. It's kind of like, when you finally see that girl across the room and she's pretty sweet on, you know, and looking at her, you start pursuing her. Well, he's after her. Got his mind set on her. In fact, he's not gonna let up until he gets her. Well, listen, he says, my heart needs to be after God. I'm not going to let up until I get to know him. I need to have a relationship with him. As long as Jehoshaphat's heart was after God, he said he protected him. It says he provided for him. And the fact is, we saw the promise. He protected him, he provided, and he promoted Jehoshaphat. Verse 12 says, and Jehoshaphat waxed great exceeding, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store. And he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of valor were. Listen, it goes on and on and on. God blessed Jehoshaphat. You got that? Now we come to today. My message this morning, guys, is called A Close Call for Jehoshaphat. A Close Call for Jehoshaphat. I had another title. I didn't know which one to put on there. That one sounds a whole lot more fun to listen to. The real title is The Danger of Self-Sufficiency. The Danger of Self-Sufficiency. Just for your benefit sometime this week, go home and read Psalm 37 and Proverbs 3, and you'll see, just mark it down. And you read that thing with this in mind. There's a prerequisite, and then there's a promise. My son, forget not my law, but keep thine heart, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Why? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I like length of days and long life. If I want to claim the promise, then I have to fulfill the prerequisite, not forget his law. Keep his commandments. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. Prerequisite. Promise. And he shall direct thy paths. Prerequisite. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Promise. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Prerequisite, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of thine increase. Promise, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst with new wine. Now ask yourself this question, can I claim the promises? Can I claim the promise? Can I expect to see the impossible be possible with God in my life? Do I have a heart that's after God? Am I seeing the hand of God in my life? And I think the more my heart is after God, the more I will see the hand of God in my life, and the greater that hand will be in my life. Now, what if basically good people, now hang on, you know what, our room is full of good people. Here's a question. What if basically good people ease up on trying to make their hearts perfect toward God? What if? Well, let's see. First thing I want to show you here in chapter 18. Jehoshaphat, I think, equated success with self-sufficiency. He equated success with self-sufficiency. We're going to take a little time here. It's going to take a little bit to get through this, but I think we need to see the whole story. Chapter 18, verse 1 says, "Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance." Now remember, we just got finished. God blessed him. And there's nothing wrong with God blessing him. The problem is when we forget who it was that blessed us. When we forget why he blessed us. Because our heart was after him. I can't tell you how many folks, oh my soul, I've seen folks, the Lord blesses them, then they buy a boat, and then they go down on the shore on the weekends, and they stop going to church. They're good people. Good people. But their heart's not perfect toward him. Their heart's leaning that way. They have nothing. In fact, they like God. He's pretty good. They like him. And the fact is, they probably really don't want to go into any kind of deep sin. They're not looking to do with that kind of thing. In fact, we're going to find Jehoshaphat really doesn't get into any deep sin, like their shallow sin, but deep sin. He doesn't get into that stuff. He just lets up. Look what it says. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab and Jezebel. Now, wait. Now, years have gone by here now. And the Lord has blessed. When Jehoshaphat first became the king, what did he do? The first thing he did, we're not getting in that mess up there in Israel. I want God on my side. I want God blessing the kingdom. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, so we're not going to let that influence come down here. In fact, he says, we're not even going to let them over here. We're going to build forces. We're going to put up fortresses, garrisons. They got to stay there. We're going to stay here. Because I want God on my life. And he's making determination that he's going to do that. But wait a minute. Now says he joined affinity. You know what that word affinity means? To give away in marriage. To give away in marriage. We'll see a little bit later. I'll tell you what happened. Jehoshaphat's son, somehow or other, met up with Ahab's daughter. Now Jezebel, I mean, she would paint herself up pretty good, as they say. And I'm not saying you can't. John writes you to say if the barn needs paint, and paint it. So I'm not against. I'm not saying you can't wear makeup. I'm not saying that. You know, I mean, if I didn't glue my hair down, it would look like this. So I'm not against that kind of stuff. But he kind of got his eyes on Ahab's daughter. And you know what they did? They got married. And in fact, it got to the point where Jehoshaphat just kind of eased off. Well, all right. There's cousins up there. I mean, they're Israelites. We're Israelites. You know, what are you going to do? And so they joined affinity with Ahab and Jezebel. He allowed his children to make the decision. By the way, you got to watch that. Somehow we have been convinced just because the kids can maneuver away their way around a computer and a cell phone and everything else and the DVR, I would say VCR, but that would date me. But the DVR and all that stuff, just because they can do all that better than us doesn't mean they're smarter. There are people in this world that can read Chinese because they grew up with it. And our kids are growing up with all this. It's just natural. Doesn't mean they're smarter. There's something the Bible says about the hoary head, and I'm getting more of that all the time, the white hair. There's some wisdom, having been around the block a few times, having seen the water go under the bridge. And just because, but you know what he did? I think he allowed his children to make some decisions. He gave in to the kids. Be careful who your kids run around with. They build relationships that turn into marriages that you don't want. Be careful. By the way, kids, every date's a potential mate. You give your heart away, and it's so hard to pull away. You know it wasn't what you knew, yeah, it probably shouldn't is, but, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go there. Listen, I told my mom, my wife was not saved when I started dating, and I knew I couldn't marry her if she wasn't saved, but she was a musician. I graduated from the Peabody Conservatory, and I could talk music, and she was seeking the Lord, and I remember I came home, and my mom says, I was 18 years old, and she was 23. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't tell you, but she... And my mom said, "Who's this old maid school teacher who's running around with my son?" Now, once she met her, once she fell in love, so it wasn't a problem, really. But I said, "Don't worry, Mom, we're just friends." You know what I'm talking about, Stan? We're just friends. Yeah. Samson went looking for girls among the Philistines in Judges 14 and got him messed up too. Now watch me. Look at verse 2. And after certain years, so the kids got married, and now they're the in-laws. Right? Now they're the in-laws. And who else are the kings going to hobnob with than with other royalty, right? And so, I mean, they're right up the road here, you know. After certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. So this marriage started a long-term relationship, and it gradually caused them to kind of sink into their sin. Verse, it says, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. Now, let me just explain what's going on there. They had a big party. The in-laws were hobnobbing with Ahab, and they said, you know, and watch me, Ahab and Jehoshaphat were sitting there, and they were having a big party. And, you know, about that time, they were smoking a cigar. And Ahab said, you know, Ahab, he'd been having a lot of trouble with the Syrians. Oh, he had several campaigns. You go back and read it in Kings. He had several campaigns, and it was a mess. But a couple years had gone by, several years had gone by, and Ahab and Jehoshaphat are sitting there after dinner, you know, when they loosened their belt and all this kind of stuff, you know, and Ahab says, you know what, the Syrians are, I think I could take them. I really do, Jehoshaphat. You know what, I think I could tell you what, would you go up with me and we'll get rid of these old boys once and for all. We'll get rid of